Well, we are all on a journey. Everyone is going somewhere. We're moving through life, sometimes pretty fast. We're making decisions. We're investing our time and our energy day by day, going toward a purpose, going toward a destination. Everyone's on a path. Those who know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior understand that they're on a journey walking with God day by day to a promise, to that promise of eternal life with the Lord forever, with our Creator, with our Heavenly Father. And as with any journey, it's important to know where we're going and how we're going to get there. Our family recently took a road trip to Texas. Here's a map, actually, of how we got back from Texas, not how we went there, but this is a map. We took a road trip to Texas. First thing we needed to know is where we were going to go. We had that pretty well figured out, but then we needed to know how we're going to get there. We needed to have some direction. It's kind of that way in our lives. In our lives, we're on a journey. We're on a journey to a promise as we walk with God from this day into our glorious eternal inheritance with Christ Jesus. We're on a journey that the Bible describes as us going from glory to glory. But we got to know truly where we're going. And sometimes we have to remind ourselves where we're going, what the destination is. And we have to continue to make sure we know how to get there. So how do we do this? How do we know where we're going, and how do we know how to get there? Is there a roadmap like Google Maps or something like this for the believer? There is. It's called the Bible. This is our roadmap. This right here, the Bible, God's Word, tells us where we're going and how to get there. In Psalm 119, verse 105, we're reminded that God's Word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. So we know where we're going. And so we know how to get there. We're going to be spending the next several weeks looking to God's Word, our roadmap, as we continue our journey to the promise. And that's going to be the title of our sermon series for the next several weeks. Journey to the Promise. Doesn't that just sound exciting? Man, that's what you're on. If you know Jesus, that's what you're on, okay? Journey to the Promise. So I'm excited about what God is going to be saying to us for the next several weeks. We're going to be looking into God's Word, specifically into Exodus chapters 13, 14, and 15. And we're going to expositorily, line by line, look at these passages of Scripture as we let God clearly remind us and show us where we're going and how He gets His people to that place of promise that He has for us. So turn with me to Exodus chapter 13. Exodus 13. Now while you're turning there, and before you start reading and digging in to Exodus 13, I want to kind of set up the story. Where are we right now? Where are God's people in this story? Here's what's going on. Israelites, God's people, had been slaves for 400 years. In Egypt, in captivity, slaves, not free men and women. But God called a man named Moses to set his people free, to bring them out of slavery. And God did some amazing things to make that happen. God did miracle after miracle. Some people call them plagues. To the Egyptians, they were definitely plagues. To God's people, they saw their God show up miracle after miracle. And what was the result? God's people were ultimately freed from slavery. 400 years of slavery, freed. But that's not it. You see, God didn't just take the shackles off them, open up the doors, and say, okay, now you're free, go figure it out. No. You see, God is so good. He's so good. God had a promise set aside, not just freedom, but a promise set aside for His people. He had a promised land for the Israelites. And God was going to lead them on their journey to this promise. That's our God. That's our God. Let's pick up the story right now. We're going to discover how God is leading us on our journey, Exodus chapter 13, we're going to figure out and learn that the first thing about our journey to the promise, the first truth about God's leadership is that simply God leads. I say simply God leads, but that's a pretty big deal. That's the title of today's sermon. The first thing we need to understand on our journey to the promise, God leads. Verse 17 of Exodus 13. When Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them on the road through the Philistine country, though that was shorter. For God said if they face war, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. So God led the people around by the desert road toward the Red Sea. So we're on a journey to a promise. And on that journey, we got to understand that God is the one who is leading. He's leading. Not you, not me, not the government, but God is leading. I want to take a moment to remember that if you're in Christ, if Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, if your life is now hidden and made alive in Him, that you are also God's people now. Can I get an amen on that one? Come on. I don't ask for amens very often, but come on, that's an amen kind of thing. If you're in Christ Jesus now, you are God's people. You're no longer orphans. You're no longer outside of the family of God, but now you're in His family. You are God's people. You're God's people if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. That's huge. That's everything. Everything. And so as God's people in Christ Jesus, like the Israelites, every one of us has been rescued and freed from slavery. Yes. Amen. We sang about it earlier. We're no longer slaves to fear. We're no longer slaves to the flesh. We're no longer slaves to the world. We're no longer slaves to sin. We are free men and women. We are in Christ Jesus. And who the Son sets free is free. Amen. Amen. That means if Jesus has set you free, you're really free. And that freedom is now. It's a here and now thing and an eternal thing. That freedom began the moment that you accepted Christ, the moment that He justified you. The freedom is yours. The chains were removed from your life. We're free indeed in Christ. And we are God's people in Christ Jesus. And so, like the Israelites, we now have the promises of God. They are ours now. The now promises and the eternal promises of God are ours in Christ Jesus. How many of you know that God is a God of promise? He's a God of promise. The Bible, in fact, is a book of promises. It's a book of promises. I just threw a few promises in my notes right here. Let me just rattle them off quickly. God will supply all of our needs. That's a promise that's found in God's Word that comes straight from Him. That's in Philippians 4:19. God's grace, His grace is enough for us. It's sufficient for us. 2 Corinthians 12:9 says that. God has plans to prosper us, to give us a hope and a future, Jeremiah 29:11. The promises of God keep coming, they keep coming, they keep coming. I mean, you read God's Word, and you're not going to get very far, maybe a sentence or two, and you're going to run into another promise that God has for His people. It's a beautiful thing. Too many look at Scripture, and they simply, as they're looking through Scripture, see a bunch of principles. And there are a bunch of principles. And there are so many precepts in God's Word that we need to grab hold of, and we need to understand, we need to comprehend. That's important. There are a lot of do's and don'ts that are in the Bible also. When we're reading the Bible, sometimes that's where our minds go. That's what starts to captivate it. Oh, okay, I'm supposed to do this, and I'm not supposed to do this. And so we're reading the Bible that way, and those are things that we need to see, and the Holy Spirit will quicken in us things that we need to see so that we stop doing those silly things and we start doing the good things that God has designed for us. But I want to encourage us as believers that maybe we need to start reading the Bible differently. Now, there's some in this room that maybe need to start reading the Bible. Anyway, don't look around. Just keep it straight. Don't look around, okay? Anyway, praise God. Anyway, but a lot of us might need to start reading the Bible a little differently and not get caught only looking at the principles and precepts, although those are important, but start reading the Bible and coming alive and being amazed and just so excited because we keep seeing promise after promise after promise that's coming straight from the throne room of heaven for His, God's people. That's us. This is an exciting book. It should have you captivated, and you're allowed to go, you know, read the last chapter, the end. That's okay. You can do that too. You can read ahead. It says in 2 Corinthians 1:20, for all the promises of God, everything here, find their yes and amen in Christ Jesus. And so as God's people who are in Christ Jesus, the promises of God for us are yes and amen. Yes and amen. So we're reminded on our journey to the promise. We're reminded that God leads. And so let's look at how God's word reveals the nature in which God leads His people. And we're going to stay in this passage of scripture beginning in Exodus 13, verse 17. The first promise of God's leadership. The first thing that we notice on our journey to the promise and the way that God leads is this, is that when God leads, it's not always the shortest or easiest path, but it's the right path. It's not always the shortest or easiest path, but it's the right path. Again, verse 17. When Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them on the road through the Philistine country, though that was shorter. For God said if they faced war, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. So God led the people around the roundabout way, around by the desert road toward the Red Sea. People often judge God based on the circumstances that they're experiencing in life. Based on the perceptions that we have of life, we can begin to judge God and His character and His leadership. I mean, after all, the shortest route's always the best route. That's what I often think in my head. The shortest, the easier way, that's the way. If there's one way that's hard and there's one way that's easy, God must be in the easy way. So if I'm on the hard path and things are difficult, then where is God? Either He doesn't love me, or I'm out of His will, or I've done something wrong, and you know, everything's falling apart because I'm on the hard path right now. And we start thinking that way as we perceive life, and we start to judge our circumstances and even wrongly judge God. Yet God, the one who brought His people out of slavery, just led His people away from the shortest route, and He took them the roundabout way by the desert road. The desert road. That's what God just did for His people. We're kind of like, what? Back to our recent trip to Texas. We took a route from Arizona to Texas that led us through some beautiful country. Here's a picture where we were in Cloudcroft. Kids having a good time because we got to stretch a little bit and get out and enjoy some really cool, beautiful weather. Pine trees. It was gorgeous. It was wonderful. It was wonderful. We stopped and we stayed with some friends in Lubbock, Texas. Wasn't necessarily on the way, but we wanted to see some friends. So on our travel, on our route out, we planned to go and hang out with our friends, Kippy and Blake Buchanan. We love them dearly. They lived here for several years, but they've been back for nearly 10 years in Lubbock, Texas, building their business, Bahama Bucks. They're frankly all over, even outside of the U.S. now. It's unbelievable. It's just blowing up like in a good way. Wow, bam. But it was refreshing and special to be able to spend time with these lifelong friends. But again, we took the longer route in order to have these experiences. We took the longer route. Now, on the way home, we took the shorter route around by the desert road, actually. Isn't that interesting? that southern route that's just kind of I-20 and then I-10, and it's just like, go straight ahead, and there's not much to see, and it's hot, and the whole works, right? But it was shorter. It was shorter. A couple other things about our trip that kind of are connecting here. When we were driving through Fort Worth, I noticed a billboard, and it was very intriguing as I'm thinking about this passage of Scripture already and what does God want to say. And on the billboard it said, bigger isn't better, better is better. And I'm like, wow, that's true. Sometimes it takes the simple things to, anyway. Better is better. And then I started thinking about this passage of Scripture. I started thinking about life and a journey that we're on to the promise. And I started thinking, yeah, not only is better better, but the faster way isn't always better. The easier way isn't always better. God's way is better. In fact, not only is God's way better, God's way is best. It is best. It's always best. I think about Jesus, and he was on a journey when he was a man. And he didn't take the easiest or the shorter route for us on this journey to the cross, did he? He didn't. He didn't take the easy way, the short way, the comfortable way. He took the way that his Father had planned for him, the right way, the perfect way. The way that ultimately brought life. 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 Let's go on to the second promise that we see about God's leadership. When God leads, He only gives us what we can handle. When God leads, He only gives us what we can handle. Back to verse 17. You're like, how long is this going to take to line by line go through this? It might take a long time. But we'll break it up. It won't all be this morning. When Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them on the road through the Philistine country, though that was the shorter. For God said, if they face war, they might change their minds and return to Egypt, return to slavery, go back to their old way of living, give up on the promise. So God led the people around by the desert toward the Red Sea. You see, the shorter route wasn't the best route. God knew that. God understands that. How many of you know that God knows more than you know? Every hand better go up right now. God knows more than you know. He sees things that you don't see. God is God. You are not. Okay? We're not God. God is God. And He knows. And not only does He know things we don't know, but He wants the best for us, His people. He cares for us. He wants the best for us. And He leads us perfectly because He loves and He cares for us. We can rest assured that God knows how much we can handle. And there may be somebody that needs to hear that right here, right now, this morning. God knows how much you can handle. He knows. He knows. And He cares. And He's in charge. And He's leading you to His promises. He knows. He will never lead us into a place that's too much. He will never lead us into a place that will crush us. He won't. I'm reminded of what the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10:13. He said that no temptation. I'm going to take some liberties here with this passage and just expand it a little bit. No temptation, and I look at it as no situation, no circumstances coming at us in this world. Nothing like that that's going on in our lives. No craziness in our lives. No pressure in our lives has come upon us, has seized us. Except what's common to man, things that just happen in this broken world. But you see, Paul goes on, he says, but God is faithful. You see, God is faithful even in temptations, even in difficult, crazy situations of life. And He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But the Apostle Paul continues. He says, but when you are tempted, when you're in that difficult situation where you want to bail on God and go your own way, the wrong way and bail on God and do your own thing, when you're in that difficult situation, God, in His leadership, will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it so that it won't crush you. He will provide a way out. That's a promise from God. See, God knew that His children, the Israelites, couldn't emotionally handle a war right then. He understood that. He understood they'd break and fall back into slavery. So He protected them and He led them a different direction. So I want you just to think about this right now, just you and God, just between you and Lord. Are you submitted to God's leadership? Are you following His lead? I mean, not your own, but His lead. Because if you're submitted to His leadership, and if you're following His lead, you can rest assured that on your journey to the promise, that God will not give you more than you can handle. He will not let you be in a place and in a situation that will ultimately crush you. Because God's leadership is perfect. And He has goodness for you. That's the truth. That's the promise about God's leadership. It's perfect. The Apostle James helps us understand that really how to process the hard stuff in life. That the hard stuff in life, the difficult situations in life, actually are used by God for our good and produce good results in us. And if you turn to James chapter 1, you're reminded of that. And some of you don't like this, that James even wrote this. God, why did you put this in his head and let him write this? And why is this in the Bible? Because it's truth. And we live in a broken world, and hard times and difficult situations and trials are part of life. They just are. But for the believer, they can be used for good and be instrumental in our journey to the promise. Consider it pure joys, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials, difficulties, hardships, delays, situations, that guy that just is driving you crazy at work, you can't stand it anymore. Consider it pure joy because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything, being all that God has for you. And has called you to be. Isn't that what we all want? Complete. We want the completeness of God. We want His fullness in our lives. And this is part of the journey to that fullness and that completeness that God has for us. Blessed is the man who perseveres in verse 12. Blessed is the man who perseveres in difficult trials and situations, even following God, even when it's hard. Blessed is that man, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised, that God has promised to those who love him. And we again can know that God's leadership is perfect. Trust in the Lord with all your hearts. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. So I guess my point is this, is that when God leads, he's never going to put us in a situation where we're going to be crushed. He's always going to have our best in mind, but we got to follow his lead, not our own. Not kind of mostly his lead, but some of our own lead. We need to follow his lead and trust him and know that he's taken us on our journey to the promise. Let's look at point number 3. When God leads, this is the third promise about God's leadership now. When God leads, he establishes the pace of the journey. And some people in here are like, oh, I knew that, but it drives me crazy. Ah! When God leads, he establishes the pace of the journey. After leaving Succoth, it says in verse 20, they camped at Etham on the edge of the desert. Look, on our journey to the promise, there are times when God is going to have us moving forward very swiftly, at a fast pace. That's often the case, and that's okay. We're in a season like that right now at Evident Life Church. We're in our journey to the promise, and where God is taking us as a church family, things seem like they're moving kind of fast right now. Things are happening swiftly, and there are changes that need to happen in order for us to continue to minister to one another and to minister to those that God wants to bring into His family, the lost and the lonely. And so the journey seems kind of swift. The pace seems a little swift right now, but that's God's leadership. This is that season. But then there are other seasons in our lives, whether it's corporately or individually, where God kind of slows it down and He says, it's time to camp. It's time to rest right now. God is in the swift moving forward when the pace is fast, and He's also in the slow it down. Let's rest. And let's wait. He's in all of that. But this is what we've got to understand. God is the one who directs the pace of our journey. Not us. Because sometimes when God is saying it's time to go fast and swift, we go, but I don't want to. I don't want change. I want to slow down. I want to go backwards. No! We're going to talk about that next week. I want to say this, in the pace of the journey when God leads, there's not retreat. There's not retreat. From glory to glory, not from glory to blah, and then back to glory, and then maybe we live our lives that way and we allow ourselves to live that way, but that's not what God has for us. He wants us to go from glory to glory, forward, never retreating. When God leads, He directs the pace, and we can trust Him in that because we just learned that He's not going to give us more than we can handle that's going to crush us. So when it speeds up a little bit, we can trust Him. And we can trust His leadership that He's not going to burn us out. That He's not going to hurt our families or our marriages in the process. That He has our best interests at heart because He's a perfect leader. Let Him direct the pace of your life and your journey to His promises. Let Him direct it. And when He says slow down, slow down. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Amen. Number four, final point this morning. When God leads, His leadership is constant. It's constant. Verse 21, by day, the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way. And by night, in a pillar of fire to give them light, so that they could travel by day or night. Neither the pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night left its place in front of the people. That's awesome. Sometimes, though, we wrongly think that we're on a journey alone. We think, yeah, God's good and He rescued me and He set me free and all that, but now I got to figure it out. No, I've just got to be smarter, man, and I've got to work hard, and I got to make this happen. Yeah, God, You saved me, You gave me a promise, but now I got to find my way. I have to manage the pace, but that's not true. That's not true. God never leaves His people. He's always there with us. He's always guiding us, and His leadership is constant. Just prayed this over Samantha earlier. It's the Great Commission from Matthew 28, beginning in verse 18. I believe that's a perfect picture of the constant, amazing leadership that God has for His people. When He says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, and now we're in Christ. He's talking to people who are His disciples, His followers. He said, I've got all authority. And then He says to them, therefore, go do something that's really hard and impossible. Go make disciples of all the nations. And then He goes on, He says, and teaching them to obey all I've commanded. Those of you who are parents understand how hard it is to disciple people, children or anybody else, into what's right. So it seems like a hard, impossible, crazy task. But then Jesus reminds us, hey, but surely I am with you always. Throughout all of this journey, all of these things that I've called you to, I am with you always to the very end. To the completion, to the conclusion, I'm with you. His leadership is constant. You're not alone. God is the one leading you. And He's got all authority. It's in His name. It's in Him and it's in you. as a child of God now. We have all we need for life and godliness. We have all we need for the journey because we're following our leader, Jesus Christ. Jesus is with us all the time. He'll never leave us or forsake us. I want us to remember this as we look at how God leads, that He is not only leading us, but He is surrounding us. It should give us great confidence and great joy and great peace as we continue to move forward with God. Great confidence and peace. So the promise this morning is that God leads. And He is leading you. If you're His son or His daughter, then you can have complete confidence that you will experience all the promises of God in your life. As you walk through those difficult valleys that seem like the shadow of death, and in some cases they truly are. In some cases life can be difficult and hard, but we can know as we walk through those times that we're following our leader. And He's got us in His hands, always. So let's be followers of Christ. I'd like to ask the gentleman to begin to hand out communion. We're going to get to respond to this message by taking communion together this morning. By remembering and recognizing that Jesus is our leader. And by remembering how He led. Remembering that He listened to the Father and He did only what He said. Remembering that as He led as a servant. He led as someone who gave, who was willing to do the hard things in order for God's promises and His plans to be fulfilled in Him and through Him. And so as we take communion, as we partake in the bread that represents His body that was broken as He fulfilled His journey as a man, the man Christ Jesus going to the cross, we take that bread and remember that His body was broken so that we would no longer have to be broken. We remember that His blood was spilled so that we could have a new covenant with our Lord, with our Heavenly Father through Christ Jesus, a new relationship where the veil has been torn and we can approach Him. We can approach Him now and forever.